I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date. Whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the Operating Engineers Local 139, also Madison Teamsters Local 695, Madison Firefighters Local 311, and Madison Teachers Incorporated. Well, joining us now, a friend we haven't talked to for a long time, from Sudbury, Ontario, former president of the United Steelworkers, Leo Gerard. Leo, thanks for coming on.
Good to be on with you, Sly.
Well, I wanted to talk to you today about like an overall assessment of where we are compared to 4 years ago and how the landscape of labor has changed in the past 4 years.
Well, it's been a very difficult 4 years that the current president has made life much more difficult. Even before the pandemic, his administration had made it very hard for blue collar workers, regardless of what he says. The kind of job loss due to failed trade policies has been difficult. And then along comes the pandemic, and his ineptitude and his basic inability to create a plan has really, really made it very, very difficult for workers, regardless of their background. And so this next couple of days, and then the election is going to really chart the character of the United States of America for decades to come. If you put the extreme right wing of the now Supreme Court, we can't believe that we can get any support on things that will end up in front of the courts with the gang that's there now. So.
Well, especially
to win this election coming up.
Especially Samuel Alito. He's really had it out for labor for a very long time.
Well, I don't think that there's much difference between him and Alito and the new Supreme Court justice, who has really railed against workers for a long time in her teaching career, her academic career. So I think that the next few days is going to be very, very challenging to get a substantial enough majority for the Democrats and for Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden, that we got to get a big enough majority to keep it out of the courts.
So let me ask you this. How bad has the National Labor Relations Board been on workers' issues over the last 4 years as Trump has appointed enough people to gain control?
It's been destructive. Every chance that the National Labor Relations Board, under this current Secretary of Labor, every chance they've had to make things harder, more difficult, or impossible for workers in hearings in front of the board, it's like they're on a mission to weaken the labor movement. And what most of these guys don't gather is that a substantial part of the inequality that we see in America goes side by side with the erosion of the labor movement by previous right-wing administrations, this one being the worst.
So it's interesting. You had mentioned trade policy a little earlier. Obviously, you and I both disagreed with some of former Vice President Biden's votes on trade. It seems as though there has been a mindset change there. The ads he's running in Wisconsin actually mention labor unions. I can't remember a candidate for president doing that. how has Trump flubbed trade during the last 4 years? I know the tariffs on Canadian steel were idiotic. What has he done as far as missed opportunity to help workers?
Well, look, let me just back up 1 minute to Joe Biden. I think that certainly in the last 30 years since Ronald Reagan, former Vice President Biden, hopefully soon to become President Biden, is the most progressive on labor issues of any presidential candidate we've had. He talks about the role of unions. He talks about the importance of unions and collective bargaining. Our union have had a relationship with Biden since he ran for Senate at the age of 29, and we worked hard for him, and he remembers that. But not only us, but other unions that he remembers from his days, so that we're looking forward to him becoming the president and then working with the labor movements of all unions to build, rebuild America and rebuild it better. When it comes to the other part of your question, President Trump has shown himself to be a con artist. The fact of the matter is that he hasn't delivered on any of the promises. Manufacturing lost thousands of jobs. His pretending that he's getting a deal with China is all that. It's a pretense. During his time as president, the trade deficit with China has ballooned. It's bigger now than the day he got sworn in. He hasn't delivered, and I think you're going to see in this election in the industrial states, including Wisconsin, workers that were conned into thinking that he would do something for them, they're now going to know that that was all a sham, and I think they're going to come out in good numbers for the Biden team.
When he told people in Ohio not to sell their homes and then didn't save the Lordstown plant, as well as, I don't know, the plant in Hamtramck, Michigan, and that type of thing, that really was a missed opportunity. He could have put pressure on GM to do the right thing.
Look at the That was one of many times that he's made those kind of promises and didn't deliver. That what is really galling about Lordstown, of many things, GM wouldn't survive if it wasn't for the Obama administration saving the auto industry and doing it with substantial financial support. Obviously, they got paid back for that, but they got paid back and destroyed thousands and thousands of jobs. I know that Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden, wants to get those jobs back. And the way he wants to get them back is to build a brand new industry around electric vehicles and that kind of stuff. So we'll see where it goes there. But, you know, we got the same sleight of hand on steel. He pretended that he was going to do stuff on Chinese steel imports. He didn't do a damn thing. And in fact, he took off after Canada, who was a fair trader, and he learned that the steel industry in the U.S. needed the steel industry in Canada, and the steel industry in Canada needed the steel industry in the U.S. And when you looked at it over the previous 20 years, trade was actually pretty much in balance. 1 year, Canada would have a surplus, and next year, U.S. would have a surplus. It went back and forth, and part of the reason for that is the North American steel industry is tied to the auto industry and to the construction industry.
So why did he do that? What was the point of putting tariffs on Canadian steel?
I think he was going through the motions of, in the U.S., making it look like he was doing something. And it lasted for quite some time. But the reality is that it didn't move the needle. It didn't help either U.S. or Canada. And in fact, while that fight was going on, the Chinese were flooding the U.S. and Canadian market. So rather than having the wrestling match with the countries that was doing the damage, it left the United States and Canada individually to take on China, and China won those rounds until we realized that we would be better together, the United States and Canada's industries, going after the Chinese misdeeds and sort of the approach that they took with just running over everybody in front of them.
And what do you think the outcome of the renegotiated NAFTA will be?
think there'll be a bigger problem for both U.S. and Canada, and that you're going to see the continuing exodus of manufacturing from the U.S. and Canada to Mexico, unless we do something about it.
Boy, I just watched a documentary on CBC about the closing of the Oshawa plant, and GM lied to those workers.
Yeah. GM did the same thing to Oshawa that they did to Lordstown. And both of those plants were really good, viable plants. And again, when I talk about subsidy, the Canadian government put up billions and billions of dollars to have GM get restructured during the workout of the auto industry collapse. They put billions and billions of dollars into the auto industry in Canada, only for GM to take it and run. So, and again, the Canadian government and the administration of Trump did nothing to help that circumstance, either Lordstown or Oshawa.
We'll pick it up from there. Leo Gerard is with us at SlysOffice.com.
Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson. We love guitars.
The attorneys at Gingras, Thompson, and Wachs have had the honor of receiving numerous awards for their work both in and outside the courtroom. But just as important as receiving accolades for being skilled attorneys, it's equally important to give back to the community in which they live and work. If you want a personal attorney that can help you in so many different areas, they've got them. They're in Eau Claire, Madison, Milwaukee, and Waukesha. They're easy to reach. GTWLawyers.com. That's GTWLawyers.com. We're back at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at Madison Computer Works, also Jeff's Guitar Clinic. Joining us again, Leo Gerard, former president from the United Steelworkers. I try to let people know, even in cases of, you know, there are a lot of police officers that are Republicans, but not all, especially here in Madison. You know what the Republicans in Wisconsin did? They made sure that officers weren't protected if they got COVID on the job, that they'd have to actually prove how they got it. And in most cases, they have so much contact with different people, they won't get workers' comp. That's the type of thing daily. And you came to Wisconsin during the struggle for collective bargaining rights. Public workers, private workers, during a pandemic. Just think how important collective bargaining rights would be right now for workers.
The Trump administration at every level, and labor relations, environmental regulation, discrimination, anti-discrimination language, you pick anything, and what they've done is pull America back to the 1960s, 1950s, and they'd like it to now take it to the 1930s. Then when you look at it, I'm continuously stunned by the extreme right wing of the Wisconsin Republican parties and the Wisconsin courts that... They're killing people, and the legislation they bring in, they know. And in fact, a friend of mine said they should be charged with crimes against humanity when they know that their actions are going to result in someone's death. Either that or get their list together and look at the ones that violated the law with impunity from either the administration or the administration's cronies, and after the election is over, make sure that they are exposed for what they've done. And the degree of destruction that's gone on in every important, whether it's Secretary of Housing, whether it's the Secretary of Commerce, you pick one of the departments of the American government, and in every one of them, they try to drag America back to the 1960s and 50s.
I mean, I watch. Doug Ford is the premier of Ontario, is no friend of labor, and he's been imperfect. He's been imperfect during this thing. But contrast, he's not a very high bar. Think how much better he is than governors like Rick DeSantis and some of the other people in the United States. Think how bad it is here.
Look at it. And some of them, I may mess up the legal term, but in some of them, that what they've done is simply tell people, we don't care about you. Go to work, and if you don't go to work, you can't collect unemployment, or you can't collect unemployment compensation. So you either work and take your chances on dying, or don't work and take your chances on dying. And that again, when you know that your actions are going to result in people dying, you should be charged with manslaughter. Just like, I mean, people think it's not relevant to the labor movement, but just look at what they're doing, putting kids in cages. 540 kids can't find their parents. And that has a direct impact on the values of the country, whether it's U.S. or Canada. We don't have that current situation in Canada. But you look at the U.S., that tells you the values that are at stake. And so you can put all of this together with civil rights law, environmental law, labor law, every one of them, Sly. And now you look at the courts, and I get really pissed, to tell you the truth, when you hear this crap about packing the courts. Mitch McConnell's been packing the court for 4 years. At every lower-level court where he could get an opportunity to jam one of his cronies in that he's been mentoring, he's done it. They've put some people in those appeal courts that have never tried a case. They put one guy in because he was the spouse of his wife who worked for Trump.
You're right, and there's nothing radical about changing the number of justices on the court. This is very different than Roosevelt wanting to put six people on the court. This is adding a couple to make up for the fact that the Republicans have been cheating.
Well, look at that. As far as I'm concerned, they stole at least three seats, you know? And the level of hypocrisy, and I mean, maybe I shouldn't call it hypocrisy, the nerve to put it right in your face. I'm going to do this, and it's the exact opposite of what we said 8 months ago, and so I'm going to do it. And the reason I'm going to do it is because I want to pack the Supreme Court so that if Trump has to go to court, he's got buddies to support him at the court. So that it's going to be a tough, tough round, Sly, if we don't get an overwhelming majority at the presidential level, but also take the opportunity, hopefully, there to flip the Senate. And so that we can have meaningful discussion. Look at what they're doing where you got, and now the Senate has adjourned for the election, and they're leaving tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people possibly in a lurch. There are small business people that need and deserve the help aren't getting it. That people who are possibly going to get evicted during the crisis, during the pandemic. Look at the people that are going to lose everything they've ever owned during the pandemic when the Republicans refuse to help them. After they've given tax cuts, we forget about the first tax cut. Within months of getting elected, him and Paul Ryan jammed through the tax cut of trillions of dollars for the already rich and powerful. Then they do it again. When they did the bailout, 80% of the money went to the top wealthy people. So this is a crisis of huge proportions if America doesn't get rid of Trump.
We have a U.S. senator in Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, who has not only said we need to cut people off from the money they were getting per month during the pandemic, but he also said that he really thought Wisconsin should shift away from manufacturing, that it's cheaper to make things elsewhere.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, here's a guy who ran, quote-unquote, as a manufacturer. Of course, the truth is he married a rich woman. But can you imagine? Can you imagine saying that?
Listen, no, I can't. And the other thing is he's one of the worst in the Senate of trying to make things as bad as he can make it for working people, like you just said. But the other thing is this is a guy that went out on his own to see if he could dig up dirt on the Biden campaign, on Biden's family. He was gone out deliberately to look for dirt on Biden and his administration, while at the same time he was having ongoing discussions with our global enemies. He was one of the ones that wanted to talk about how the Russians could help Obama, or not, excuse me, help Trump, not Obama.
Do you feel...
He's been one of the people that ought to be defeated simply because of the position he's taken that are anti-Wisconsin, anti-worker,
well,
anti-manufacturing.
Our friend Tom Nelson is running for the Senate, and I know there will be more in 2022. We certainly are going to have to get to work on that. But first things first, do you feel better about how union families feel about Joe Biden than Hillary Clinton?
Not absolutely.
Okay.
Look at I'll watch what I say, but after the election of Trump and after the installation in January, I went to Cleveland for a meeting with our local unions in the Cleveland area. And while we were standing around outside before the meeting started, I said to a couple of the local union presidents, I said, "What the hell's the matter with you guys? As you guys know that he's a fraud and he's a, you know, use a couple of curse words." And one of the local presidents said to me, "Leo, we respect you, but do you really think we could vote for the woman who sleeps with the guy that screwed us?" That was 12 years after NAFTA, and our members in the industrial heartland of Ohio couldn't get over what Clinton had done to them, Bill Clinton. So that when you say the difference between Vice President Biden and Hillary, Hillary was a great person, but she had a legacy of bills to drag with her. And she made a huge mistake, tactical error, of not spending enough time with the workers and the vote in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan. In the last week, she spent virtually no time in those campaigns because they thought they had it in the bag. And then, interesting with Vice President, former Vice President Biden, that he's campaigning till the very last day, and he's campaigning with comments about how important the labor movement is.
Yeah, that is so refreshing to hear that, and the fact that he says it publicly, he's running it in his ads. That just seems like it, stylistically, talking about Scranton, talking about Delaware, talking about the fact that, you know, that he understands that we have to make some serious changes. So
you got to take a look at Joe's whole life, the way he grew up in an environment where his parents had to live apart for a while because they had no job. Then his father got a job. And how they were a typical 1950s working class family, and he's worked his way through that, his personal challenges with the family fatalities, that kind of stuff. This is a guy who doesn't need to pretend he cares. This is a guy who has shown his whole career that he cares, and in his whole career he stood up with the labor movement.
Well, I got to tell you,
we clearly had some falling out over trade, but. You know, that he was the vice president, not the president.
I, as a Catholic, progressive Catholic, I feel pretty good about having Pope Francis and Joe Biden, right?
Yeah,
that's a pretty good draw, right?
Yeah, I watched one of Joe's speeches this week, and he was quoting Pope Francis. And so the Republicans must have, what the hell is going on? Who's this guy, Pope Francis?
So, finally, you know, I noticed since the, referring to Canada, since the Liberals have a minority government, the NDP has been able to get some advances for labor, including sick days for workers.
Yeah.
How can we put that type of pressure on the Democratic Party and Democrats to make sure that we advance the labor cause like what happened in Canada in that situation?
Look, I heard a quote, and I'm not sure if it's a quote by Roosevelt or not, but it was attributed to him, that he said, "I know what you want. I'm willing to do it, but you got to make me do it." And that's where we are now with President elect, hopefully, Joe Biden. He knows what has to be done. He wants us to keep the campaign on so that it gets done. The thing that that I keep hoping for was the day after the installation of Trump, there were a million women that came to Washington and marched in the streets. When Joe wins the nomination, we need to march in the streets for give him the kind of support he needs to take on the challenge in the Senate. And in the House, we're in terrific shape. We're going to have an expanded majority in the House, I'm sure. But we got to take the Senate. And if we take the Senate, we've got to give Joe the support that he needs to get things done through the House and the Senate and get them done in a really quick way, not in the last year of the term, but in the first 6 months of the term, and to change the laws so that we can make the progress that we need to make so that at the end of the first term, there's a positive record to work on. And right now, again, the challenge is to get an overwhelming majority so that it doesn't have to get kicked up to the court, because the court will cut our throat again if they get a chance.
Leo, hang on for just a second. Leo Girard, former president of the United Steel Workers. Thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.